to the Huntley Baptist Church podcast. We hope that this message can be an encouragement to you today. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.
Morana. Bonjour. Guten Morgen. That's as many languages as I can say. Shalom. Anyway, Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." Some years ago, our son Jason went with a friend to the movies. They went to see Iron Man 1 with actor Robert Downey Jr. as acting as Tony Stark, a billionaire weapons manufacturer. About 10 minutes into the movie, Jason's friend leaned over and in a loud whisper said, "I want to be him." Wanting to be someone or like someone is really close to the true meaning of the word imitate, which according to the Oxford Dictionary means to copy or to follow, to imitate. It comes from two Latin words which translate to copied image. My sister and I used to imitate people's voices and mannerisms. It was a naughty little kind of in-house fun thing we used to do. And it was all going all right until one day she imitated someone at work. And the hearer said, "Yes, that's my husband." Ouch. It almost cured us of imitating people, until it didn't. My nephew runs a massive operation employing over 100 people, yet he's consistently humble, calm, and unflappable. Even on his worst days, when there's multiple things going wrong and lots of trials, he remains unruffled. His staff closest to him have kind of picked up on this, and they must have, you know, admired that about him. And so when you ring them on the phone, they sound like him and they talk like him. That's positive imitation at work, isn't it? Our scripture today is Ephesians 5, 1 to 5, but we're just going to pop up the first two verses for a start. Thanks, guys. And let's read those together if you've got your Bibles or devices. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Paul is encouraging the Ephesian church to imitate the Lord who they hadn't seen. He had. His own encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus made such an impact on Paul that his whole life was turned upside down or completely around. His intent was to go and arrest Christians in Damascus and drag them back in chains and possibly even to their death. Who does that? Obviously, a religious zealot full of pride and righteous indignation. He was convinced that he was working for God. In those moments, he thought he was working for God. But when he met Jesus, he realized he was a sinful man working against God. How does this link to today's reading? Because Paul was living proof to the Ephesians that anyone who has truly discovered Christ is a living, breathing imitation of Jesus to those around them who cannot see God in the natural world. We're not told much about the encounter on the Damascus Road, but somehow Paul met Jesus face to face. Jesus knew he would need this intimate encounter if he was going to survive the multiple trials he was going to face in the future and to receive revelation beyond his own thinking for people with no hope then and now. And this is why we've called this series Seeds of Hope, because our very presence should actually give others hope around us, this community, at work. Our very presence should give others hope. Once we've truly met Jesus, there should be a copied image of the Savior imprinted on us. So my first challenge today will pop up is, do others see Jesus in you? Do others see Jesus in us? Well, there's many other images surrounding us daily, aren't there? If we don't imitate, where he's everywhere, if we don't imitate Jesus, we will become like the things we are imitating or following after. It's just the way it is. Have you ever noticed that people even start to look like their pets? We're going to put a few pictures up. Check these out. Not bad, eh? Take a look at these. We become like who we worship. Not saying that they're all worshiping them, but we become like what we hang out with, who we hang out with, don't we? In Psalm 135, verse 18, I came across this scripture after being in India, seeing what people worshipped in India, like 5 million gods and counting. It was a bit sick, really, worshipping everything, parts of the body, etc., animals, all sorts. But the thing about these images is they are all competing for our attention and our approval. And Psalm 135, verse 18 says, those who make them will be like them. It's talking about idols. Those who make them will be like them. It's just so easy to allow the image of Jesus to slip, isn't it, from being front and center in our lives when something else becomes an idol or just a little bit too special in our life. The usual response for those who meet Jesus in Scripture is really a deep sense of unworthiness. Most say, depart from me, for I am worthy. These are examples in Scripture. Is that you? Is that me? Are we really humble when we come to God? See, the gap between our righteousness and His is so vast that we can't imagine Him wanting to bridge that gap, but He did. And the Easter story, which we've heard about this morning, which is still fresh in our mind, He is risen, is all about the only true holy God reaching through time and eternity to save His kids, His children, from certain disaster, eternal death. He chose us. And the only way we can imitate Him is as His blood-bought child. You see, the words, as beloved children, they're just so powerful, aren't they? In that first verse, as His children. They assure us that once we're forgiven, we belong. And if we're not His kids, we can't imitate Him. When we belong, it just shows, doesn't it? It's like a bride on her wedding day who reflects her love for her husband-to-be, her lover. She reflects that love, that beauty. But after the wedding, there's a marriage. Amen? So Paul says in verse 2, walk in love. It doesn't stop there at meeting Jesus. We need to walk in love. Love involves both sacrifice and offering, according to verse 2. Marriage only works when both parties commit to walking in love. Paul says, as Christ gave Himself up for us. I love that. He gave Himself up. No one took His life against His will. He gave Himself up. An offering and a sacrifice to God. It was a fragrant aroma. I love that. A beautiful, fragrant aroma sends all kinds of messages to our brains, doesn't it? Ooh, someone's cooking steak next door. Ooh, what are we having? Soup. Often we associate a certain smell with a place, a person, or an occasion, don't we? Sometimes we just get a snip of something, ooh, that takes you right back. You could be at some other place. God's wired us. He's wired us to feel emotions. Our emotions are a gift from the Lord, but they're not a very reliable guide to how to live. Our will and our mind are designed to guide our moral compass, not our emotions. But God loves to see us expressing things with great passion and generosity and passionate worship. Worship like we've had this morning, springing up from our spirit. When we're born again in the Spirit, He deposits His Holy Spirit in us to teach us, to empower us, to glorify Christ and to reveal His word to us. This is kind of like just the package that he brings to our life. That said, emotions are still a vital part of our walking in love. You know, my dad said one day, and it's really surprised us all, there's got to be emotion in religion. Ooh. Okay. Good on you, Dad. He was pretty staunch otherwise. So, the Greek word used for the offering that we give to God is prosphora. Sounds a bit like a fertilizer, doesn't it? Prosphora. But it's actually a grain offering. And the Greek word thysia, used for sacrifice, is actually a peace offering. And this lines up with this generous offering that we are to give to the Lord in love, when we walk in love. Paul quotes Philippians 4:18, where Paul is actually given a generous offering by the Philippians, and he calls it a fragrant offering. And it leads him to say in the very next verse, "My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." When we're generous, God will provide all of our needs in Christ. A fragrant aroma is also an Old Testament term used over 40 times when God is pleased with what's being offered freely and generously. So walking in love involves our will, the mind, our emotions, and a renewed heart. Walking in love will cost us, just as it cost Jesus His life. The ultimate fragrant aroma to God. That was just amazing, wasn't it? What Jesus did on the cross. So challenge number two. Are our lives a fragrant aroma to God? Firstly, do others see Christ in us, but are our lives a fragrant aroma to God? Something to think and work on, isn't it? By walking in love, they will be a fragrant aroma to God. But walking in love is not enough on itself to please God. He also desires purity. So let's read the rest of our passage in Ephesians. I was going to quote James, but perhaps for the sake of time, James says, you know, pure love is looking after widows and orphans and keeping unstained from the world. He wants purity. If we truly desire to imitate Jesus, we need to walk in love and purity. Here's the rest of this passage for today. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as it is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you will know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Wow. We kind of turned a corner, didn't we? This last part of it is pretty full on. It's gone a bit quiet in here. Yes, there can be things that we tolerate in our lives that are not a fragrant aroma to God. And we all know those things that we just allow in, subtly. And along with all the wonderful gifts of love, peace, and joy, our whole lifestyle needs to imitate Jesus. And this includes our thought life, our speech, and our eye gate. There are literally thousands of unhelpful images and tempting sights at the click of a button now, eh? How can we stay pure? And this is a struggle, I'm sure, for everyone. I've been having some random thoughts lately, and I want this next part to be kind of some practical tips. So we're just going to look at three things. Three things, how can we stay pure? Guard against temptation. Number one, guard against temptation. In Psalm 119, verse 11, David says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." I think this is just one of the most amazing verses, and we need to almost like memorize it and keep it with us. This verse points us to the daily discipline to guard our life against temptation in whatever form it takes. I can't stress enough the importance of our daily time in God's word. See, Satan knows our weaknesses, and it will come as no surprise that he will stoop to whatever measure to make sure we slip up. Proverbs 6, verse 27 and 28 says, "Can a man take a fire in his bosom and not get burnt? Can you walk on hot coals and not get sore feet?" No, the answer is no. So stay away from stuff that's going to wreck your life. We don't rebuild the ship in the middle of the storm, out in the ocean where there's no support. We don't start rebuilding the ship when it's going through those massive waves. We schedule time in the shipyard to get the strengthening done to the ship, don't we? We can't service the truck when it's loaded and heading down the road at 80 Ks. You know, we have to schedule a time, take it in, get it serviced, do whatever's necessary to maintain it. And so it is with our spirit man. It needs to be covered by the word of God before temptations come. We get the strengthening done before temptations come. We get the maintenance done before strengthening comes. Read your word every day. Second, starve addictions. Cut off the supply. Just cut off the supply. Identify what's your problem, cut it off. Cut off the supply at the source. If we have a problem with alcohol, then probably pub outreach ministry is not for you. Yeah, I won't go there. I've got a story about North Carolina, but we won't go there. A neat encounter with a guy in a pub trying to tell people about Jesus. Anyway, harmful habits disappear when we cut off the supply it craves. Harmful habits disappear when you cut off the supply that it craves. 2 Corinthians, isn't it? Can we put that one up? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And this is the bit I want to really focus on. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When those random thoughts come, round them up, lasso them, you know, like those radio guys, and take it captive to the foot of the cross. Send those thoughts back to hell where they belong. And number three, if you've failed, if you're slipping up, just confess it quickly. Die quickly to it. Be raised quickly. We need to memorize 1 John 1:9. And that's, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've celebrated the meal this morning that really is our visual picture of Jesus' forgiving our sins. Finally, do a regular check on your values and your motives. If you want things you can't afford, or you feel something is becoming an idol, go to God and check it if it's what He wants for you at this time. When we miss out on something, there's usually something better in God waiting. And it's on the other side of obedience generally. If your heart is to please God, He will direct your passions. Obedience trumps sacrifice in God. Obeying the word of the Lord is a sweet, fragrant aroma to Him. Do we want to please Him? He wants to give you an inheritance in His kingdom, verse 5, if you overcome. Overcoming is the key, and it's also the reward. When He has your whole heart, you will naturally imitate Him. Let's just sum up. Do others see Jesus in us? Are our lives a fragrant aroma to God? How can we stay pure? Prepare, starve, confess. As children of the Father, let's guard our hearts and minds in order to imitate Him. It's so worth it, saints. It is so worth it. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Let's pray. Father, we praise You for this wonderful gift of life in the Spirit, in You, found in Jesus, the well that never runs dry. Eternal life that starts now at the time of salvation. Lord, we just thank You for that. But we know there is a journey ahead in this life with trials and temptations. And so, God, we just give You every day. We just pray we would put You first, read, starve those things out of our lives. Just confess our sins when they come up and walk in love for You with those You've called us to walk in love with. And we pray that in the name, the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and King. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Huntly Baptist Church podcast. We hope that it has been an encouragement to you. Please feel free to contact us at huntleybaptist@extra.co.nz or visit us at huntleybaptist.com.